This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com. You're listening to the best of
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
This is the busiest little studio in the land today.
We've got the absolutely gorgeous lover, it's Jordan Rianne.
Hi, Jordan Rianne, she's in the house.
Well, I've just seen your phone ringing with
a certain name on it.
What is the name?
Danny. What's going on now?
We are together.
Are you an official couple? Were you upset that Danny contacted some of the exes from the show?
No.
Gosh, I wish I was like you. Every Thursday at 6 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
We have our final guest on the phone, the absolutely gorgeous Karen Hauer. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for speaking to us. It must be kicking off busy time. Strictly is back now, officially.
Yes, it is. I've actually been in the professional rehearsals now.
Right.
So it's been a pretty intense 2 weeks already.
I bet. So explain to those that don't know what happens in these early stages.
Well, so for the last 2 weeks, actually, for the first 4 weeks of July 31st, we started only with the pros. The rehearsal was only with the pros.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting ready all of our professional numbers. And and then at the end of the month, we meet the celebrities.
I think probably what I imagine one of the biggest problems would be if you just didn't particularly gel with someone like that you've been partnered with. Has that ever been a problem for you?
Personally, no. Actually, I'm still friends with all of my partners.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them all. I think they've been great and a great part of my journey on Strictly.
Yeah.
I've seen before when people don't get along, but at the same time, it's one of those things that you have to blend with one another no matter what. At the end of the day, it's about the happiness and the fun behind it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would be a real shame if you don't get along. I mean, if you're coming on Strictly, you're coming on Strictly because it's such a loved show.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you don't want if you get the wrong professional, the good thing is that all the professionals are fun and they're at the top of their game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think everybody's friendly, everybody's cool.
But it hasn't always been like that, Strictly, right? There's been rumors before about stuff backstage, about a bit of awkwardness and stuff. Is that not the case anymore?
Not for the past 8 years I've been there, and there hasn't been anything that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're always so focused on taking care of your celebrity and making sure that they're okay, that whatever else is going around you is, you know, you probably hear things here and there, but I've never seen anything or
just
anybody
get on
not
with it.
Long. Mm. But yeah, you just get on with it. And again, at the end of the day, it's about making that Saturday night show the best. And it's always the best. It's always fun and it's what people wait for.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's such good TV.
It's
Strictly
time, yeah.
100%.
And it leads up to Christmas. That's the best thing.
That's the thing, like, for people watching it, it's like, well, Christmas is right around the corner, isn't it?
Because I know. And then it's some time off for us, because I haven't had time off in about 7 years.
Oh, God. And there was a story going around about how the decision to get Motsy as the new head judge has caused some friction because of, obviously, she's OT's sister. What have you made of the whole thing?
No, listen, I think she's absolutely fantastic and a great addition to Strictly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was head judge on the German show, and she judged OT there. So it's never been a problem for any of us, and it's not going to be a problem at all. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing. I mean, we're going to miss Darcy.
Of course.
Darcy is, you know, she's a gem. A beauty for us, and she actually joined when I joined the show.
Oh, is it the same year?
It was the same year that I joined the show. And I think Motsy's going to be awesome. She's a great dancer, a great judge, and she's going to kick butt. <That's>
I wonder if actually, because people will be watching her so closely to make sure she doesn't overmark OT or anything, that she'll probably be like,
you know what,
on the other direction.
I think everybody's going to be watching everybody. You know what, their eyes are going to be on all of the celebs and if you're going to step on the wrong foot or not. But it's such a beautiful show, and there's so much attention on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the eyes are always going to be on the celebrities, and yes, they're going to be on Motsy, but I think she knows what she's doing. She's a veteran. She knows exactly what she's going to be watching and what she's going to be scoring. And, you know, but at the end of the day, we're going to be, all the professionals are going to be working hard to make sure that all the celebrities are just on top of their game.
What's the hardest thing about doing Strictly?
You don't sleep.
you're absolutely exhausted.
And literally, like, you dance, I'm dancing. It's like murder on the dance floor.
Literally.
It's hard. It's just a job that's just, like, full on. You know, you don't have time to stop. And that's the sad thing sometimes, that you spend so much time, like, you know, creating and stuff, that you forget to enjoy it.
And you just move on to the next thing and the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I guess one of the things that I need to do this year, even more than any other year, is just stop for a moment and go, wow, I'm lucky to be doing this job and to be on the most amazing show with a great team around me.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I would tell all the celebrities that are going to be doing it, that don't worry about looking, you know, like, oh my god, I don't know what I'm doing, do I look stupid? No, you don't look stupid, it's okay, we all look stupid.
Yeah. Just relax.
You just have to relax and literally enjoy, because it's a one in a lifetime opportunity.
And
they're gonna absolutely love it.
You do one of the things that I think most people as well would find a struggle, and you work with your ex. how do you kind of negotiate that? Is it all right?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin and I have worked together for the past 8 years, and we absolutely love working together. We started, obviously, rehearsal started last week, and it was like, we're really good mates. Mm-hmm. We, you know, we're dancing together. There's a lot of, the nice thing is that we don't have partners that we're dancing with all the time. We switch partners around.
Yeah.
So we all get a feel for everybody else. But with Kev, I have a lot of respect for him, and I'm so proud for all the things that he's been doing lately. But for us, it's never been a problem, and it will never be a problem. Yeah, we're really cool.
That's very
it's
lucky.
It's like a new breed. It's a new breed. You know, most people think that we'd be like, oh, I don't like it. No, not at all. It's all the things that we were always friends.
That is nice. You know? That's true.
There's no drama. I don't like drama, baby llama. No, not at all. Not
that's
true.
That's a good phrase.
What?
I like that.
He's happy. I'm happy. It's all good. Let's be happy.
Yeah, I agree. And he's all good with Stacey?
I don't really know anything about that, because obviously when we go in, we're just really literally just going crazy. All the routines. We're doing about 3 to 17 routines a day.
Right. Okay. So you're not sitting down and chatting.
You know what? He looks extremely happy. So I'm happy that he's happy.
FUBAR Radio presents.
I am joined by the trans activist and author. It's Miss Charlie Craggs.
I think it's a really interesting point you said about most people haven't knowingly met a trans person.
Course,
you know, I feel like most people probably have met a trans person.
Oh, yeah, you probably sat next to someone on the tube,
and had no
in
idea.
The toilet. Because that's the thing, you know, with this toilet thing now, it's like trans people shouldn't be using toilet.
We've been the whole time.
Centuries. Because we've been around since the ancient Egyptian times, before that even. I'm not very good at history, but we've been around since, like, the days. There's, like, Greek statues of trans bodies, because third gender is a real thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a scientific thing. Like, there's nuances of gender. And we've been around forever, so we've been using those toilets with you the whole time, baby. So you just didn't know, because we're so pretty.
Every Wednesday. Callum McSwiggan. From 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today, I am joined by the incredible poet and author, Dean Atter.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm really good. Really glad to be here.
Well, it's amazing to have you here. And I know you're here to talk about your new book, The Black Flamingo.
That's right.
Which, off air, I just got wrong and called it The Pink Flamingo, so I got telling off for that.
No one needed to know. You didn't need to admit that to me.
No, I did. I felt for my own conscience that I needed to clear the air there. I feel like you've put a lot of yourself into the book. Is that true?
My mum thinks so.
Because I understand you do a little bit of drag as well.
I do drag, but I only came to drag a few years ago. It was something that I wished I'd done when I was a teenager, mm-hmm. wished I'd done in my 20s, but was a bit scared of how much I might like it, or how much it might challenge my sense of myself as a man. And so I just didn't go down that road until I just kind of saw the perfect thing advertised. It was like a 10-week course called The Art of Drag. And I was like, that sounds amazing. And it's run by Michael Twaits, who's an amazing drag performer, who describes himself as a man in a dress. And I was like, that's what I would be. And so that was kind of like the what attracted me to it was that it wasn't saying you kind of have to make definite choices. It's not going to affect your gender identity. It's just about like trying something. And so it kind of reminded me of the acting I did was that when I was a child, and I was like, this can be a character, the Black Flamingo. And so that's my drag character as well as the Black Flamingo, the same I've chosen for Michael in the book. So that is the link there. Whereas everything happened for Michael in his teens, like some things have only happened for me very recently. So I didn't step into high heels until very recently. And I was missing out.
I understand that you were, I saw it. you were recently on the cover of Attitude magazine.
I was.
Tell me more about that.
It was super special. I was on the front cover with my partner, Tom, and we were kissing. And they wanted to do a cover, 25 covers, because Attitude's been going for 25 years. Yeah. So they did 25 different covers with different pairs or groups of people kissing or being affectionate, showing love. And it was just such a big deal, one, to be on a magazine cover, but two, for our relationship, like to put that out there so publicly. And to have been asked, because Attitude is actually the first magazine my mum gave me when I came out. I think she must have gone into the store and found the one that kind of seemed friendliest. And I think Attitude is like one of those magazines. I now write for them as well, which is really fun. But like, it is one of those magazines that just kind of has been really affirming for me when I've kind of dipped into it over the years, because it just covers a lot of broad stories and looks at the world and looks at the arts. But being on a magazine cover, it was a bit terrifying.
Yeah, I was
like,
about to say.
Doing the shoot and kissing, and we shot outside, and we had people like honking, some in support, some in like with negative comments to make. Someone on a bike said "ugh," and like someone in a car just shouted the word "gay," and I was just like, yeah, like that's the point. And it was really interesting because the whole team doing the shoot was like, this is the reason we're doing this,
because
we need to confront these things, like why no one shouts at a man and woman kissing in the street, like, so why if two men kiss in the street is such a big deal. So we were really glad that we got the chance to do it, and it's like a proper keepsake. I'm gonna frame it and put it in. We're moving in together on Friday, so I think it helped propel our relationship.
Yeah, you need to put it like above the mantle
or
something, definitely. Like that lovely picture of the two of you kissing.
Definitely.
I think it was really interesting what you were saying there about, you know, like it just doesn't happen to, you know, a straight couple kissing in the street. And I also think like a lot of people don't perhaps realize how much it does happen to gay people.
With Tom now and with previous partners, I think twice when I'm holding my partner's hand in the street, let alone kissing, you know, whether we're going home from a night out and one of us rests our head on the other's shoulder, it's like you get nervous about that because you don't know, you have to keep your wits about you, whether you're like on the street, on the underground, on a bus, like you never know what could be happening. Even outside a gay club, as soon as you step outside, you're like, oh, my bubble's burst.
Yeah,
the safety
absolutely.
Of what I had inside this venue has gone away. And sometimes even within venues, it's weird because I think you get a lot of tourism to gay bars, I shall say.
Yes, that is a thing.
When I've been single and I've hit on guys that have been really upset and been like, I'm straight, and I'm like, okay, but don't be so upset. It's fine that you're here, but don't get angry or upset that someone's hit on you.
I wouldn't get upset if a woman hit on
me.
Like,
how dare you?
I bet they do all the time.
This has happened like once in my life. And I was like, oh gosh, what? I don't know what to do.
But yeah, it is still important to make these statements, and whether it's with a magazine cover or, you know, being bold and holding your partner's hand in the street. I know, you know, it's scary if you're somewhere where that's really out of the ordinary. In London or a big city, you're a bit more, you know, people might be more used to it. But other places in this country, it's still something that you will turn heads, even if they don't say anything. And it's about how you feel about making people uncomfortable. Maybe they need it, and maybe that will kind of slowly help them realize this is a normal thing.
FUBAR Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio now by John Niven.
When you've got people paying for tickets,
where's that money going? Where's all that going?
One ticket is quite expensive for 20 quid, but that includes the hardback, which is like, you know,
they're
only paying a few quid to actually hear my drivel.
I remember about 20 years ago now, just going into the Waterstones to have a look around, and it was obviously at a time that Mad Frankie Fraser, the gangster, was doing a signing in Waterstones. So he'd be walking around looking furious, and like he was about to like tear someone's throat out, just sat by himself tapping his pen on the table.
Every Friday,
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club
from 12 PM. FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio now by Naomi McDonald. Hello, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Impressionist?
Yeah.
Comedian?
Yep.
Actor?
Yep.
Do you do...
Singer?
You do it all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and Nick know each other, but I've never met you.
No.
Where did you meet?
Did we gig together, or did I see you at a gig?
I met you before you met me at Latitude in 2007.
I didn't meet you, but I
was like, this guy's great. I watched you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, is that weird?
Oh, really?
And I was like, he's cool. And then I think we met the first time was in Camden.
Yeah.
Upstairs.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's when I saw you. Thanks. I've been trying to get you on this show for ages.
Have you?
And I think you are an exceptional talent.
I think we were talking about having you on last year.
Yeah.
Stop
I've
it.
Literally, you were on my
last
first
Edinburgh.
List of people I wanted on the radio.
Aww.
And I tell everyone about how good you are.
That's nice.
What I think is great about you is you do impressions, and I love impressions.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe I love impressions more than I love impression shows.
Right.
I'm not sure if they've ever known. What I like about The Trip is it's like they found a format to do like an impression show.
Right. Yeah.
Which is kind of like not like wigs and makeup and stuff. But
Someone can nail it.
What you do is you do impressions of people that I didn't know what they sounded like until you do them. And then I'll go, oh my God, I didn't even know that they had a voice. I didn't even know that I knew what Davina McCall sounded like. But in a way that you just like, you absolutely fucking nail it. And then you go, oh my God, I just think it's so, yeah.
Oh, thanks.
It's a proper skill. And you sing like the people sound. And you go, I didn't know that I knew what that person sounded like, you know?
Yeah, I like that sort of surprise. I've seen it in the audience. Like if I sing the first line of Ellie Goulding, I've seen them go, oh yeah. Yeah, you know, like the sort of click, which is quite cool to see.
It's really cool because you don't just like roll out all the standards and kind of like you see everyone do like Michael Caine impressions and kind of, especially when you're watching it on a show.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure how good Paul Whitehouse's Michael Caine is, but because he's wearing the glasses and he's got the wig, you go, that's Michael Caine.
But I think they kind of create a character, don't they?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
And that's a slightly different thing.
And I actually do appreciate that because with impressions, you do definitely think some of this audience, they don't know who the hell I'm doing.
Mm.
So you do hope, please just enjoy this character. And I know that, I mean, my sister, she's my director as well, and we have a great relationship where she can be like, you need to listen to Sharon Osbourne again. And I'm like, am I just doing an old woman? She's like, yeah.
You sort of like veered off of it. Yeah.
I'm just doing a character that I enjoy. And she's have a listen.
It's funny in the Impressionists, because you sort of see, I think it's like, do you know that thing about the 4-minute mile? That apparently before Roger Bannister ran the 4-minute mile, everyone said, that's impossible. And then he did it. And then suddenly a year later, everyone was able to do it because someone had seen it done.
Oh,
and
I
think with impressions, it's only when one person nails it that all the other impressionists go, oh yeah, like that.
Yeah, but that's the thing amongst impressionist circles is that people steal each other's bits.
I was talking about the
American impressionists, and they were like, somebody nailed, oh, it was about Saturday Night Live. It was the Dana Carvey era.
Oh, right.
And it was kind of, and somebody nailed one of the presidents, and then the next week it was given to Dana Carvey to do, and he kind of like borrowed a bit of, I don't know if it was Dana Carvey, I can't remember what order it was in, but I was listening to something about that.
Yeah, no, but my dad said as well that he remembers Alistair McGowan. I can't remember who he was doing, but he did an impression of someone and did them doing something like, blah, 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 or something, did this thing at the end every time. And someone met that guy. I mean, it's not a very good anecdote if I can't remember who the person was. But anyway, they interviewed the real guy and said, you know, why do you do that thing? You know, Alistair McGowan does you that. And he said, I've never said that in my life. Like, Alistair McGowan gave him that thing that everyone thought was associated with him.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the Barry Norman saying, and why not?
Yeah.
And Barry Norman didn't really say that.
Yeah, I like to make them say shit or do shit that they don't do. I think that's fun.
Also, people can't do Arnold Schwarzenegger impressions without going, ah!
Arnie!
And it's just kind of like, and that's not a thing that he really does. Yeah. So it's kind of like, that's the thing that. Anyway.
Do you find that you have to have a sentence or something that gets you into the, and it's the same sentence with each person?
Yeah, it can be literally one word. Like, it's so much easier to improvise it than someone give you a script to do it.
Sure.
I mean, so it's just like with Cheryl Cole, I just go, hey, like, or, ooh, like, just something, just to, like, yeah, get right. myself. But, like, yeah, I do weird stuff when I'm doing my videos to get videos me into
it. Your videos are incredible. I mean, this is a weird thing saying, but I'm not really big on popular culture.
Right.
Even though this is what the entire show is
about.
I'm not
really either.
My interest in popular culture sort of, like, peaked in the early 90s. But so when you can do like an impression of Cheryl Cole and I go, yeah, that's exactly right. It's kind of weird that that has actually seeped into my consciousness in the first place.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch those shows.
No. And to be honest, I get quite bored with all those things as well. So that's why I literally just take it out of context and just have Cheryl Cole talking about falafels.
So, right, we've jumped in a bit. Do you find it difficult to take credit for stuff that you've done?
Like therapy now.
I talk about my shows,
yeah,
like,
that's true.
All of the good stuff about my shows, I say we.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
We went on, and I'll talk about previews, that I literally went by myself, did material that I'd written by myself.
Okay.
Went home by myself, and then they say, how did it go? And I'll say, oh, we did all right. You know, like, there was a team of people doing it.
Well, I suppose I am thinking of, like, the guy that flyered for me.
Never.
And the technician, Gary Tro, did my taking for
Gary.
Gary
Tro!
Yeah.
Hello, Gary.
Looks like Bill Paxton.
Hi, Gary.
It does look like Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Do you know who Bill Paxton is?
No.
Just so you don't know.
Oh, it was too quick.
Can you do Bill Paxton?
Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah.
He did die, didn't he? He did.
Oh. Wait, I do know. No, I don't.
Twister.
I was thinking of Parkinson.
He's Twister.
Look, I don't know why I don't know who anyone is, because I've tried to use age as an excuse, but we're probably all the same age, so let's just forget it.
Do you want to say how old you are?
Yeah.
You don't have to?
Yeah, just turned 30.
Oh, yeah, we're all about the same age.
About the same age, then.
Yeah.
About the same age.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
No, don't be stupid. It's so silly to care about age. This whole thing about age is
says the 30-year-old, fucking hell.
No, because...
You've still got your knees.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Dreams you're being held underneath the elephants in the Radio presents Joey Page.
John Grant, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Joey.
Do you feel you are appreciated enough in the music business? You're like a genius in music, so...
Thank you for the fantastic compliments. I don't feel particularly great at what I do, so it's always nice to hear that. I don't know, I don't feel like I'm allowed to have an opinion about that. I think I'm probably getting what I can handle. I wonder if I would be able to take the kind of attention that some people get.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
It's National Play Day Day, and for that reason, and a few other reasons, the band, the legends that are Childcare, are here in the studio taking over the Joey Page Show. David, isn't that just about right?
It's about right. It's about right.
Emma, that's just about right.
Just about right. We are a softcore psych quartet from London.
And we relax people. We take them on a journey, a sort of spiritual log flume. Of surreal wellness advice and motivations. We're supposed to do and are going to do a personal glory phone-in, which links nicely from Joey's question. As we're now wellness advocates, we've asked you to call in, and it's going to be sort of like a mixture between LBC and Lush, you know, the bath bomb people.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a combination that it's, I think in the mainstream broadcasting arena, they've been kind of crying out for that, really.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear from some people, and actually, I mean, it's pretty, it's kind of exciting. Our first ever personal glory phone-in. Hello, caller one. Come on, caller
G'day,
one.
G'day, is that me?
Yeah, that's you, caller one. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Adam, and I'm calling from Australia.
Whoa. Yeah. Dude, oh my dude.
That's so
It's currently
far.
About 10 to 12.
Dude.
At night?
Yep.
Good question, David. okay, Adam. Well, you're on with Rich, David, and Emma from Childcare.
Welcome.
You're in a safe space. Yep. Have you got yourself sat down?
Oh, I can do that now.
Yeah. Of course, if you sit down in Australia, you'd be sitting down on the ceiling in the UK. Because everything's the other way around, isn't it?
Yeah, that way.
Isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, sounds about right.
So, Adam, we're here to help you a little bit with... even we've never done an international intervention like this. I'd like to hear from you about... firstly, actually, we're asking everyone today, when was the last time you tidied your bedroom?
It was probably in about 2017.
Okay.
Yeah.
No words.
Well,
can you see the floor now?
Sort of. It's like semi peeking through a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, that's okay then, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Before
it's a good start.
Well, before we go anywhere further, that would be something you could take as a sort of P1, we're calling them priority one, because messy mind makes an office for the devil, but also a messy room too, maybe.
It's a nice expression.
That's pretty deep.
Sorry, I don't want to freak you out or anything.
Yeah, it's getting late. Might have nightmares. That's right.
Yeah. Well, we don't want that to happen. Adam, have you got any questions for us on how we might be able to help you?
Oh, well, because it is so late and I've got to be up at like in about 7 hours, have you got any tips for me to get like a deeper sleep maybe, or how I can wake up better in the morning and be energised and ready to go?
Mm-hmm. We're now processing that question. We're consuming it and digesting it. And we're about to get back to you with our responses. I would first begin by understanding that your bedroom should really be only for two things. Sleeping and lovemaking. Oh, three things. And charging your phone.
And listening to Wabi Sabi.
And listening to Wabi Sabi.
Yeah.
But perhaps a routine where you leave your room before going to bed. And as you leave the room, maybe change the lighting, open a window, tidy the bed so it looks hospitable. And even if you have to do a quick lap of the house before coming back to touch down, that's totally worth it, man. That really will get the room. The room's purpose will be sleep then, and you'll be aligned with it.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, I think back to you saying you hadn't tidied your room since 2017. Maybe taking that task on, probably not tonight, but taking that task on so that everything is in its right place. I think that will help create the three-pronged approach for the bedroom, as Rich mentioned, the audio, the sexual, and the sleeping.
Okay, thank you. I'll take that on board.
Yeah, I think that'd be nice. David, have you got anything to add with regards to how to sleep deeply?
How to sleep deeply? Well, I would almost go against one of Rich's pointers, which is a bit controversial. I would suggest putting the phone outside of the bedroom, but making sure that you have an alarm that's non-cellular, so meaning not mobile, sort of
a cockerel.
So yeah, should I buy a chicken?
That'd be great.
A chicken is a female, I think, but a cockerel would be more suitable.
Wow.
Yeah.
London Zoo encyclopedia. Sorry about him. He's just showing off, Adam.
Yes, I am.
He's very gender binary, you see.
Is there anywhere you anywhere you can get a cockerel at this time of night in Australia?
I might be able to duck down to like KFC or something. I don't know.
Tuesday Takeover with Tiffany on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to the Tiffany Takeover. Please welcome Tiffany to the studio.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you. This is so exciting.
It's so exciting
and
to have you.
And thank you for helping me today. Oh. So it's not, you know, it's a duo. You know, we're going to have a lot of guests on the show today.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of these people that are coming on are either just starting their careers or have been legendary.
Yeah, talking of legendary.
Sure, yes.
Bruce Foxton and Russell Hastings are here from the Jam.
Good afternoon.
That's
look at that.
That was perfect. That was beautiful.
Yes.
Well, you're off on tour in October, aren't you?
Yep. We go to Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong and Japan before that.
I can't wait to go back to Japan. How many trips have you been back to Japan now lives?
Well, we went last year, didn't we?
Yeah,
oh, really?
From the Jam only last year.
Oh, yeah. I love Japan. It's one of my favourite places to go.
The thing is, it's like literally a flying visit. You know, we're there for like one day
or
one and a half days and then we're off.
Yeah.
Where's
your favourite places to travel?
You know, well, where is your favourite place?
Well, my favourite place to go is Italy, and Rome. If I was just going to go and get away, which I never get to do, but I have been saying for a year, I want to go to Hawaii. And now I just got booked to go to Hawaii for 10 days.
I want to go
so
there.
I'm
that
going now.
Right.
I want to go to Rome. Yeah. I want to go.
Okay.
I think that's how we're supposed to be doing this.
Absolutely. Do you guys think that, well, you know, when you like first started making music and doing this really for a career, did you kind of go, I'm going to deliberately manipulate where I want to go on holiday and try and push my tour to go where I want to go on holiday?
No, well, not for me. No. I mean, it didn't work like that, I don't think.
No, I think maybe sometimes people now have luxury a little bit. They can do that. But, you know, you kind of go where the music takes you a little bit.
I even gave up French lessons at school. Yeah. I thought I was never going to go abroad. What's the point?
Things changed a little bit then. Just a little bit.
Yeah, a wee bit. I've broadened my horizon.
Clacton and places like that.
Yeah. Southend last week.
That's right. We were. Yeah, we were in Southend last week.
What's a Southend crowd like?
Great. Great everywhere.
Who's all time the place that you go where you know they're going to be like excitable, ready to party, a good vibe, a good energy? Is there a certain place? Is it the UK? Of course it is.
It's definitely the UK. Yeah, I think you want to narrow it down a bit, but we're fortunate because wherever we play it seems to be, you know, vibey.
In terms of the change, Tiffany, I'm sure you'll be able to comment on this as well, in the music industry since when you started to now, is there any distinct things that you see that are different, good or bad, about the way it works now?
Right. Oh, it's very completely different.
Yeah, it's completely different.
Completely different. I mean, where it's all there's no money. There you go. Cut to the chase. No one gives any money away, so everybody wants it on a plate these days. So it's whereas you used to be able to go out and perform, go and record an album, and then you'd do a tour to promote an album. It's the other way around. So and it's all crowdfunded these days. You know, everybody's crowdfunding, and it's just completely upside down. So I suppose trying to get used to it, really.
Yeah, but it has changed, and it's even changed for me. Like, obviously, I'm not a musician. I'm trying to pretend in a room full of iconic musicians that I'm a musician, but I'm not. It's changed even in my lifetime to see the difference. I mean, CDs to not even iTunes not even existing. You know, that change is massive. But you know, your fans remain the same. They remain as, you know, they've got this allegiance to you.
I think the people don't change, though.
No.
You know, definitely. And the movement behind music, people still want good music. Mm. And there's something about, I believe, the Jam, their music, and, you know, I'm thankful my music. It makes people feel good. It takes them back to a time.
For sure.
You know, it's just, there's something about it that's really magical. And to be, you know, I can only speak for myself, but I think that you probably would agree that to be one of those artists, to have that is, again, a grateful thing. Because, you know, these fans keep turning up all around the world. And even though the industry is upside down and all the crazy, you can still get your music to them, which is easier a little bit nowadays, which is great.
Yeah.
But it is more work. You know, you got to get out there. You got to get on the road. I've been on the road for like 2 years now. Yeah. Literally, I haven't stopped.
Permanently.
And that's how it is.
Are you, in terms of like what you were just talking about with the fans and the longevity, it does come with, in a way, a high price of having to tour a lot, which is debilitating at the best of times. Is there anything you do to prep for tour? Because it's tiring. It's a lot.
What, for talking?
Touring.
Oh.
Also talking. I do have to prep for talking. I do a little la-la-la. No.
Yeah.
But when you go, when you know you're going to, like, for example, you're heading off 10th of October, and before that you're going all around the world.
Yeah.
Is there anything you have to do mentally, physically, to kind of prep for that?
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I mean, you have to categorise it and put it all into a proper place and get your head round the fact that, you know, you're going to go in through different time zones and be tired and exhausted, and expect that. And when it does happen, and the wheels will fall off one day, you know, and it does happen, you know, and you find yourself crying because you haven't got any sugar, you know, or something crazy happens, and you just find yourself almost wanting to burst into tears.
Over a bit Spinal Tap.
Being on the road is so much fun because, again, you know, you're giving your music and everything. But I learned this year I need to just go to sleep sometimes.
And
when you said the sugar, cried over the sugar.
Sleeping,
I cried over something, like granola fell on me one day and I just like lost it.
I would cry if granola fell on me. I'd be livid.
You're around people all day long and sometimes you just really need to patrol yourself.
From a perspective of someone outside of it, the people right now are talking so much about this, and it's so interesting to hear you guys say that, because that is, I mean, a lot of people are talking about mental health in the music industry right now and making it a really important, discussion that, that artists are able to have. But it's great to hear also you guys talking about it. You know, you've been making iconic music for a long period of time, but it just shows that nothing has changed. People are just able to talk about it a bit more outside of, as you say, ringing up one of the others to say, can I have a chat?
I think the taboo about, let's call it mental health or stress or strain or whatever you go through, you know, that taboo pretty much disappeared. And it's cool for me to turn around to someone and say, look, I'm having I'm struggling a bit, you know, whatever you're doing, it's no secret in my life.
There's no shame in it, is
no,
there?
No, and it's none in mine. I've been 22 years sober. And my life's just been the most amazing roller coaster since then, and happy, and you know, I can deal with stuff today.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Make up your own mind, ladies and gentlemen. That's right.
Sexy boy on the telephone.
Ooh, okay.
We're joined now by Dave Spiker. Hello, mate.
God bless you for that.
Yeah, a very sexy boy.
That takes me back.
Yeah.
Do you remember you used to get the girls up in the corridor and the studio there and you go, I'm the man your mama warned you against. What?
Every Monday.
Ian Boltzworth.
From 4 PM.
FUBAR Radio.
We're joined now by Mark Zammit.
Hello.
Hello, man, you're right. I would never do that again. No money in the world would ever persuade me to both direct and star in a film ever again.
I actually strangely enjoyed it.
Mother, you're an idiot.
I am an idiot.
Say first why you would never do it.
Because I am sure, I presume you're one of these people, I'm sure there are people who can separate those things. I think it would have been easier to do that if my film was a scripted film. But my film is essentially a documentary. And we were talking earlier on about being aggressive or controlling or bullying or whatever.
Yeah.
I think I was probably at my worst during that film because I just had nothing left. No niceties left.
Well, were you ever like that on set, Mark?
I wasn't, actually.
Just shouting on the set.
Well, did you have a script? No, I make no apology for it at all because I think if anybody could, and I don't think I can ever properly get over how consuming it is and how little time you have.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to the point where you're like, please, is wasting time.
So how many members of the cast of your film, Mark, are you still speaking to?
I'm not speaking to any of mine.
I'm pretty much speaking to everyone.
Okay, good.
No, all the fallout with all the crew.
They're not dead.
I'm starting to think it was me.
No.
But do you know what? It is hard. Directing and acting was one of the hardest things that I've done. But what I learned was my limitations and how I dealt with that. Because now when I come across other obstacles that may kind of block me, I'm thinking, this is nothing. I've directed and acted in a film and produced it and raised the funds myself.
So you're the lead in Homeless Ashes?
It's
a vanity project, Mark.
Are
your parents fucking livid about this? We told him to get a proper job. He's made a film. He's the star of it. He's directed it. There's literally nobody else on the credits.
There you go,
now
mum
and
dad.
Now you've got Jason Fleming in it, I saw, who I've had on, not on this show, but I didn't point.
He's brilliant. Jason Fleming's brilliant. And the reason why I decided to play the role, it was so many different things because it relates to me in a lot of ways where when I was young, I was from a very poor background. I lived on a council estate. And it got to that point where I was thinking, I know how to tell this vision. I don't know how I can tell someone to play Frankie because I just know in my head how I need him to be. I just thought, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Here we go, my role.
Don't have to pay anyone if I do it.
Yeah, exactly, here we go. Yeah. For me, at the end of the day, with this as well, is about trying to just tell the homeless story. For me, this is showing that the generation that we live in, you can do this now. Like, a lot of people that want to be filmmakers, you don't have to run around trying to find finance. You can crowdfund.
Don't tell them.
What?
Oh, no.
You need to tell them to go to drama school for a really long time.
Don't tell them.
Film school.
For two reasons. One, you don't need the competition. And two, I'm annoyed that somebody told me. Right. I am annoyed that somebody sold me that dream. Right. Oh yeah, you could just do it. Now it was myself. I was like, well, why can't we do it? And just did it.
Yeah,
I'm annoyed that I ever thought that. I'm like, why did I?
Why did I do that?
Why did I go? Oh yeah, you can just do it and then do it.
It's painful. It's
like
painful.
Being told you'd probably survive if you jumped off that bridge. It's like, yeah, there's no reason. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't do it, mate. Day job, mate. Nice
this, is why, this is why people die after this show. Yeah. Because I don't agree.
I remove every enriching bone in their body. Every artistic heartbeat that keeps them alive, I just fucking decimate it and send them on the way.
Jump off that bridge.
Do you know, like on some of the Jeremy Carwells, not anymore, they used to do after show counselling. Maybe we know that in the green room for guests after this show, take them next door and just go, okay.
I presume there are after show counsellors available now that Jeremy Kyle's finished.
Yeah, they're about.
Tap them up and see how fucking useless they actually are. So what is the conceit of the film?
So it's about a young boy called Frankie who is, his mum is a victim of domestic violence. He ends up standing up this terror that's going on and he runs away from home, ending up homeless. He's not educated. He just ends up on the street, gets tackled in by the wrong people. Like, for example, Viv, who's this junkie, and Lee Ryan, who's, Lee Hunter.
Awful. Isn't it awful that Lee Ryan is... So but you said yours was scripted. Yours, this sounds like it's a documentary of some sort. So,
following Lee Ryan.
So he gets corrupted by a bit of blue.
The character's called Ryan, but he's being played by an actor called Lee Hunter.
Look, no one is believing this now. Everyone now thinks you've just given away a major spoiler from your film.
Because Lee Ryan clearly appears in a cameo. It's a surprise.
Walks around the corner at one point. He's like, oh, look, he's in it as well.
The life story of Lee Ryan, I think, this film.
He then goes in a pub and Lee Latchford Evans is in there from Steps.
Then you have Lee Evans also.
H is the barman. Fucking love
sounds
it.
Great, yeah.
It's like a musical.
It's just full of former boy band stuff.
Where's Jason Orange?
Is he coming?
We need Jason Orange in it too, please.
I know, Jason Orange left before they started shooting.
I will shout Lee Ryan at the premiere. I'll just come screaming out for Lee Ryan.
Just get up with 10 minutes to go and say, well, Lee Ryan's clearly not fucking in this.
I was lied to.
Unless he's like fucking...
Lee Ryan.
Unless he's the Kaiser Sose at the end of it, then he's not... So were you done with your explanation?
I could expand it. Yeah. So he runs away from home and he's fighting the terrors and trying to survive and grow up on the streets. It's kind of about all the people that he meets that are in the same situation as him. The journey, you don't know where it's really going to lead with a slash one flew of the cuckoo's nest with all these different characters.
Yeah, I mean, from the way you've been speaking so far, I'm surprised you don't play all the other characters as well. I was expecting you to just describe to me Nutty Professor 2, the clumps. That was mum. Got a fat suit. I play his dad. It's been honestly a pleasure chatting to you. We're out of time.
I'm going to go and see Lee Ryan now.
And you knew him.
Make sure you pop into the counsellor next door before you go.
Do you know what? Even the way he was talking, I could tell that he knew him.
Fubar Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
This is our special guest co-host, Terry Walker.
Hey! Gorgeous in the building, hey. gorgeous in the building, hey.
That perfect sounding person that you hear on the fourth mic is Bree Runway.
Thank you very, very much.
You're of Ghanaian descent.
Yes, I am. So what makes you love this better? Is this an argument that's going to start?
Do you know what? You guys' rice is not good.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
She goes by the name Tyler.
Hello, how y'all doing?
Good. You've got one of those names that it's like the spelling makes you have to figure it out and know, you have to know words to know your name. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got to take Thai.
From Thailand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then
La from La.
Nice.
Yeah, I just think my mum liked to confuse the whole world.
Okay, so yeah, that goes into my next question. That is your real name.
That is my real name.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Even more amazing.
Yeah, and I have a brother and sister who have like really normal names. So it's like,
are they older or younger?
They're older. So it's like maybe my mum just kind of
she's experimental.
Like, oh.
Yeah, no, she was just like, I'm gonna have fun with this one.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So she just
went all out.
What are
your siblings' names, if you don't mind?
Siblings' names?
Yeah.
Sean.
Yeah. Sean's nice.
Sean's normal.
S-I-A-M?
Yeah, like Sean Noyd, the weather presenter.
Also, but then Sean, Cyan.
Exactly,
Cyan,
that's
right?
The thing about Sean's. It's still interesting because it could be Cyan or Sean.
Yes.
No, but I'd say Cyan would be spelled with an N-E at the end of it.
Yeah, I think it's double N-E.
You know what I mean? You'd say that, but names don't work that way.
True.
Do you know what I mean? I know a Cyan, but I also know a Sean.
It's their like names, my names
are spelled
Marshall,
yeah, exactly like the same. Cyan Anderson, exactly. Yeah. Their names are spelled exactly the same.
Very true.
It's kind of like a, you got to just hit with a first syllable and extend it until they tell you. So you're just like, so.
It's funny because Sean, you'd think, would have a H in it.
Phonetically, you'd spell it S-H-A-R-N.
A-R-N-E.
Yeah,
but that doesn't look very nice.
No.
No, it doesn't.
That's the thing. It looks too
little. But then you've got Sean as well, S-E-A-N. S-E-A-N, so why would
exactly.
you do...
But then you've got S-H-A-U-N.
Yeah, that's how my cousin spells it as well.
Easy. And then my brother's name's Scott, which is very regular.
Yeah, that is very regular. That is he the oldest?
He's the middle.
Okay. So she kind of thought...
Yeah.
Chill out, man. Chill out. And then she thought, no, fuck that! I'm not saying that was like what she did.
Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe they just gave her too much. Maybe they just gave her too much gas and air.
She saw two things. Like, do you know what I mean? She saw.
Maybe
like,
she thought she was in Thailand
to visit Thailand on the TV in the corner.
And she was like,
and then the
Tyler.
Yeah, she did.
Or just a singing Thai person.
Yeah, a singing Thai person, Tyler.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
There's a tribute to that person. Maybe your name. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cracked it. And it's nice. It's nice to not have to. It's nice to be able to use your real name as your artist name. Surely.
Yeah.
Does your art seem much more personal that way?
Oh, I'm so indecisive. I would not know what to call myself if it wasn't my own name. I'd be like, I don't know. Maybe we could mix up the letters of everyone around me right now.
Oh my god, that used to be the first thing everyone did, didn't it? Mix up the letters of everyone.
That's what you've kind of done with the M&M show.
That's true, but it's not a word. It's just three initials, but with T in it, it wouldn't be. It would be like
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No, but you need two T's for that.
Yeah,
M&M T.
Put T on the front.
We could be the
miniature ninja mutant teenagers.
No, if we were going to make a word, yeah, just the mint.
Mint.
Mint. Yeah, just call it the mint show.
Sounds a bit wrong.
It does. Yeah.
The mint show.
But it would be like, what is that? People would be intrigued,
I
think.
Back, when
like,
I hear it back.
Yeah, like Munta. Munt show. That's not good.
That's not a good look.
Keep it M&M. You could almost be like the white rapper, M&M.
True.
Yeah.
We were going for the peanut flavoured chocolate snacks. But
the peanut flavour, not any other flavour.
Wait, what are your favourite M&Ms? Are you just chocolate or are you the blue crispy ones?
No one likes the crunchy ones.
Are the second best ones.
No, I don't think so.
I tried the peanut ones the other day because they were meant to be my favourite and then I was like, oh, I should have got the crispy ones. Oh. I don't know what happened.
Crispy ones are the new thing. I like the crispy ones. I can't handle the brown packet.
Those peanuts. Can't handle the brown packet.
Are they
in a brown packet? I thought it was in a blue packet.
The traditional ones.
No, the traditional ones with no peanuts.
They're in a red packet.
Not brown.
That's Maltesers.
No, they're in a brown packet. The blue ones are the crispy ones.
That's Skittles. For sure. That's
Skittles, yeah. You're thinking of the wrong thing. You're thinking of Kit Kats.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
That's a topic, bro.
What? M&M's, the original M&M's, they're not red.
What are you thinking of?
Why is the M&M red on the advert then?
There's loads of colours in there, not the colour of the packet, not the colour of the shell.
They're not all red though, are they?
No.
There's other colours too.
You know when you get them plain M&M's with no peanuts, the packet is brown, but I thought
the packet would be red because that's what colour the round M&M is.
But there's a yellow one as well.
Yeah, the yellow one is because
but there's no yellow packet.
What do you mean? The peanut ones are yellow packet.
Oh, yeah, there's no red there.
And there's blue and there's brown, but there's no red packet.
Maybe they changed their packaging at some point.
Maybe there is. Maybe there's a red packet in America.
I've been shouted at that there is
a red packet.
See, don't fuck
with me. The original ones. No, they're brown. That's a brown packet.
Can you fact check that, please?
What's that back in the 80s?
We've seen that.
Way before that, surely. I'm sure when the Yankees first won the World Series, people were probably smashing M&M's.
What colour's M&M World? Yellow.
What, the building itself? That's a good question.
It's yellow now.
All I see is glass when I think of it.
No, white, maybe.
Is that right?
Brown.
That is so weird.
Sorry, Will's now shouting in my ear. Sorry, Nat, you're right. So there we go. So,
no, look. Fake news.
You got so angry about it.
Definitely look at your screen. Look.
But they're the caramel ones, though.
What's that? Oh, that's the new one.
They're the new ones, yeah. They're Peng.
Are they? I've not tried those.
No, they're quite sexy still.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
No, they're peanut butter.
That's it. Sorry. Same thing to me.
Just lying.
See, yeah, no, peanut butter. Peanut butter ones sound
just
lying.
He's over there lying.
It's the sugar one.
Yo, that's the toffee flavour, yo.
It's the meat flavoured one. You even said yesterday, it's the meat flavour.
Yeah, beef jerky flavour M&M's. Yeah, I tasted them. They're heavy, bruv.
The triangle ones.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.